Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm Derek Walker. My co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter, here in his blue Oxford, looking dapper today.
Yes, I'm Dapper Dan the Candyman. There's no doubt about it. I can assure anyone listening that we're not going to talk about the debate. We may talk about other things, but not the debate.
But Jimmy.
Because we're the only ones not talking about the debate. But we can say that it really is. I mean, we're in the final stretch here because voting, I think, is going to start like any day now for people in some places that are, you know, voting absentee or can vote, you know, remotely and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the people are out there, you know, circled the wagons. But what I'm disappointed in the most, I expect it from the networks. I really do. And I expect it from CNN and MSNBC. I expect it from Fox.
I expect
all of them to be on the team that they are.
Yeah.
But I'm really upset with Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report.
Okay.
We might have mentioned it before, but man, he's gone full tilt left side.
Really?
I mean, and it's just all tabloid headlines too about J.D. Vance talking about people eating cats and Melania thinking there was assassination. I mean, just really tabloid stuff when I just didn't remember him being that way all the time. He had a couple of tabloid kind of headlines, but now it's very political and he's very anti-Trump. Trump must have done something to him because it reeks of being personal than it does professional.
Do you think some of these outlets, I mean, we've talked about this before, obviously. Some of the major news networks have kind of twisted things up so they get more hits, they get more viewers, and really ultimately
some of that social media is that way because it's young people and younger people, you know, just like the younger people were in the 60s, the hippies.
Yeah.
They were certainly anti-Nixon, believe me.
Yeah,
people
don't
know, but I'm telling you, they were anti-Nixon. And the people in the South were definitely anti-Kennedy.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, you could just, I mean, big time.
Yeah.
Now, Ike and I remember the first bumper sticker, and I was 12 or something like that at the time. I mean, I remember the Kennedy assassination. I was 11.
Oh, boy.
But I remember that very much so. But I remember when Goldwater ran against whoever he was running against.
What was his first name, Jimmy?
Sticker, AUH2O, Barry Goldwater.
Barry, that's right, yeah.
And he was a senator from Arizona, very much beloved senator from Arizona, but very much on the right-hand side of the page.
You got to back up for a second.
He ran for president and didn't and got stomped.
For people that don't know the periodic table, you got to back up because that might
AUH2O for you chemists.
AU is gold.
There.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to go.
But
I mean, you know, people have always had their favorites in their team, but only really in the past couple of years has it been so divided to the left and the right where it's 50-50. Half the people, you know, because I'm telling you, folks, as you watch this final stretch here, remember, when you see polls don't make any difference at all when you poll the American people as a whole, because the popular vote is going to be, without question, a Democratic win. But it's the Electoral Congress you got to win because California and New York and Connecticut and Illinois, because of Chicago, are going to go Democrat. And you could probably got Oregon and Washington in that bunch now, too. So all those things together almost gives you a win, but doesn't really. Because Florida, Texas, you know, all the deep south, and you start getting west, and who knows what some of these other states are going to do. And it works out where Trump might can win, you know, by a few electoral. But it's all about seven states, Pennsylvania being one of the huge ones. I don't see Trump winning Pennsylvania, but I do see him winning Ohio, and I do see him possibly winning Michigan.
Someone asked me
the other day. And I don't see him winning Wisconsin and Minnesota. So I don't know how they all boil it out. And see, Arizona could be a Republican win this time because
the
immigration issue being so strong.
It's funny.
So
we'll know when we know.
And you know, there are people, this is an interesting thing going on. There are people right now that have been appointed on both, maybe on both sides.
Yeah.
Working on the transition team because you can't just put a government together in the whatever it is, 45 days or 50 days, not even that many, I think, between the election and the swearing in.
Right.
So there are already people appointed that are picking candidates for like the Secretary of Commerce and stuff like that. So if Trump gets elected or Harris gets elected, she'll be able to choose. It won't be so much because they'll keep a lot of the Biden people at her, you know, I would suspect. But he's got to bring in a whole new crew.
It's a big change. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a really big change. And so, you know, there are people actually working on that right now. And then their work will be in vain if he loses.
You know,
but you can't not work on it right now.
It's interesting, too. And people will say, well, why hasn't Trump or why hasn't Harris, you know, visited this state or that state? And I had somebody ask me the other day.
Don't need
about,
to. Yeah.
Right, exactly. There's no need. I mean, that's money spent for nothing.
You follow
nothing,
the
right?
candidates. You follow them wherever they go, and you'll see them mostly in Pennsylvania. You'll see them. You'll see them in Michigan. You might see them in Wisconsin, and you'll see them wherever. You know, North Carolina is a possibility because I think that state can go red. And Virginia probably not because there's so many government workers around Washington, D.C. and Richmond.
True. That's true.
That although the governor's Republican, but don't think they can carry the state anymore. It's very, very hard with those heavy Democratic pockets there in Virginia. And same with Maryland. Because the government is mostly made up of people who are of the Democratic persuasion.
Yeah,
not
you're
Republican.
Right.
So you're right. That's why it's so hard for a Republican to come in and get anything done in most of these places because the bureaucracy is like, you know, works against them.
Yeah, right.
And that's why there's been talk of trying to get rid of all these government employees. And that's what that 2025 thing that Trump says he doesn't know anything about is about. They're not going to change any of that. But, you know, one crazy thing that could happen, and you can hear, you know, and people aren't talking about this. It looks, I mean, right now, if you had to bet and be a safe bet, that the Republicans are going to carry the Senate. So whoever gets to be the presidency, you know, they're going to have to go through them to get any judges or cabinet appointments and that kind of stuff. I can't get a good read on any of the pundits what they think the actual Congress, the House of Representatives, is going to do because of gerrymandering. I heard that it could be a Democratic win, even though the Republicans have it now, because they've changed the district around in a lot of states, that it makes it, you know, one have lost here and whatever it is, might be a Democratic win, but some say Republicans could keep it. So what would that be interesting if Harris wins the presidency and the House and the Senate are both Republican?
Is that a classified lame duck presidency, Jimmy? I mean,
it would be a difficult one for her because she has so many. Well, we don't know what she has.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that is true.
If you go by the Harris that we think we knew a year ago, you would say that she's for all kinds of far left things, for the border and for almost anything. The squad would be yay.
Right.
Nobody else would. So we don't know what she's for.
No, and as of
late, we're not going to know because she's doing the Warren Harding routine of pretty much staying away from everything,
that's true.
She's going to rope a dope. She's going to hide for the rest. I mean, a couple of things out there, but generally nowhere she can trip up. There's a new book by Bill O'Reilly, and I forget the name of it, but it's about, you know, he is a good history. I've had some of the audio books for him. Have you ever listened to any of those books?
I have not.
Killing Patton, Kennedy.
I've heard of the books.
Killing Jesus, I think. There's a bunch of them. He's the best-selling nonfiction writer in the United States. And he's got all those books, and they were fascinating books. Killing Kennedy. It was more than just
I'm looking right here. He even has one called Killing Bill O'Reilly. But it says here.
No, I don't think it's. That may be something you wrote. I think.
That's it.
That's the new one.
Confronting
came out
the presidents.
Maybe this week or last week. Confronting the presidents. And this is the history of reporting how the different presidents, you know, campaigned and how they dealt with the media and a little bit about them. You know, just little things about confronting him, like president, like George Washington was mad at his mother. His mother kept trying to promote him and putting him in the media, and he didn't like that. And that's one of the things in there. And then one of the presidents, somebody, he had a daughter out of wedlock, during the campaign or something. There's a lot of stuff that's out there, you know, that a lot of people don't know. And the sad part is that schools, you know, that for some reason the curriculum's got flopped around the last few years, and there's very little history being taught. I think they'll mention Pearl Harbor, you know, and the Civil War, and kind of hit some of the big
Hiroshima.
Maybe. You know, that's one. But I mean, don't really teach a lot of history or geography, which is that just, I'm sorry, but, you know, again, I know math is important.
Yeah.
I have a calculator, and I didn't take any math past high school, thank God, because I didn't have to. I could, the choice in college, you could take an equal number of hours in philosophy if you didn't take math. Because that's, and I took, I think, 20 hours of philosophy instead of any math.
Yeah.
And I did great.
But
and
if you didn't need the math, who cares?
I hate math. I don't like it. And, geometry was I got through it. But, I mean, it was, you know, I don't like it. And so I think it hasn't hurt me any. You know, as a journalist, my schooling of a lot of geography that I took in school, I took a lot of college, economic geography, all kinds of geography. That helped me every day in my work in journalism.
Oh, sure.
And same way with history. Being able to put things in perspective is huge if you're trying to report or do anything.
I would agree.
I mean, most people in this country right now, I'm looking at something up here on the board. They couldn't anymore tell me where Carlsbad Caverns National Park is than they could fly around the room.
Yeah.
Now, is that important that they know it? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's just like general knowledge.
Right.
And it's just important about just being on Earth.
Right.
That you know the difference. You know that there are planets above the Earth, and that's a science that's okay to me. But some of this stuff that we're getting into with science is just too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, let the kids that grade out as scientists and mathematicians, put them in schools where they're going to really super perform in those, and let the people who are the musicians and the people who are the storytellers and, you know, and the authors and those kind of things, let them super learn, you know, stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in what your talents are. I mean, you're talking about the people being inundated with math, and I drive through Taco Bell, and I get back change, and I get a $5 bill. It's supposed to be $5.28, and I said, what about the 28 cents? Oh, okay. They didn't even
it's been so long since I've used cash. I use cash today at lunch, and that's the first time I've used cash for lunch. I don't even know why I did it, because I like to get the points on my Visa card, so I don't normally use the cash. But back to the Carlsbad Caverns thing here.
New Mexico, yeah.
People are nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever worked in any business where you saw the results of where people are, whether you're going down in the interstate and you stop at one of the rest areas where people are nasty, or just in general.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Some nasty person dropped a bag of Cheetos in the Carlsbad Caverns.
Oh, jeez.
And they said that it has created a huge impact on the cave's ecosystem.
Wow.
They said it's a big deal. The processed corn, softened by the humidity of the cave, formed the perfect environment to host microbial life and fungi.
Oh, no.
Cave crickets, mites, spiders, and flies soon organized into a temporary food web, dispersing the nutrients to the surrounding cave and formations.
What?
Mold spread higher up the nearby surfaces, fruit, die, and stink, and the cycle continues.
Mm.
The rangers spent 20 minutes carefully removing mold and foreign debris from surfaces inside the cave, blah, 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 blah. So I'm just saying, you know, people don't understand the impact of their nastiness. And that's just, I just thought that was interesting. I don't know why.
Who'd have thunk, you know, just a dropping bag of Cheetos.
Right. And people throwing their cigarette butts out the windows and other nasty things.
Forever have done that. Yeah. I think about that. And I think about these fires that start. And I just think, really? A lit cigarette out the window and dry grass equals forest fire to me.
But the fact that there's so many, you know, I look at your fire, you know, that's something, if you live in the eastern side of the Mississippi, you really have rarely dealt with. There's some fires in Florida occasionally.
Yeah, but nothing like we have out west.
Sometimes Texas, but rarely, you know, nothing like you have the one in Los Angeles, hundreds of thousands of acres.
Oh, yeah.
you know, the smoke that goes over three states and all that stuff. It's a whole nother deal. But it's just
we're still in it. We're still buried in it. I mean, we got smoke today.
I was going to a place the other day and stopped to get gas in a car wash on the interstate in North Alabama.
Yeah.
And I saw a tractor across the interstate plowing a field. And it looked like somebody set off a dust bomb. They haven't had any rain there in so long.
Oh, really?
It looked like something from the Dust Bowl.
Wow.
Of the, you know, of the 30s. It hasn't rained in that long a period of time, you know, for people. And our, you know, as we speak, you know, you've got Francine doing something.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw
out
that.
There that's a tropical storm, maybe a hurricane. And it's just sometimes it rains all the time. Sometimes it doesn't rain at all. Lately, the weather has been weird. But
yeah,
I had someone come up to me and talk about the podcast we mentioned last week, where we brought into the fact again, if there hadn't have been warming up, we'd still be in the ice age, and the dinosaurs would still be roaming around and all that stuff. It's just the natural order of things that we don't recognize because our idea of history is 100 years, maybe 200
years. You're right. I mean, how long have we been keeping records, right? And how long has Europe been
around? Yeah, that's about all. And maybe we know Valley Forge had some snow.
Right.
But we know.
Right. Since
we don't know much
records.
About when Jesus was out there, what they were going through. And all that particularly. We didn't know. We just don't know.
Right.
So it's just crazy. On the lighter side here, they have come up with the top five guitars of all time.
When you say guitars, are you talking about brand, style?
The instrument, the musical instrument.
But I mean,
specifically, like the number four will be easy for you.
Okay.
Was Lucille. B.B. King.
Yeah, that's got to be.
That was one of the most famous guitars ever. Number four. It was a Gibson. Let's see what the number for the Gibson was.
Boy, Gibson.
It was a Lucille Gibson hollow body electric.
Mm.
And I think there's now a B.B. King model or something.
Yeah.
But what he figured out, left his $30 guitar inside. He returned to rescue it later and learned that the fight had been over a woman named Lucille, which became the name of his guitar and one of the trademark Gibsons he played thereafter. That was number four.
I love
it. Now, number three, this will be a Jeopardy thing, you know, like
God, this be
famous
hard.
Names of guitars. Frankenstein was number three.
Mm. And whose guitar was Frankenstein?
That was the guitar.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Guitar of Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, God, yeah. He was a great
guitarist. The guitar that he made from scratch.
Mm, okay.
He made out of parts.
Okay.
And,
it was a flying V,
hot rod,
right?
Electronics and brash color schemes. Frankenstein inspired super strats, high impact locking tremolo systems, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, that wasn't
featured many different pickups. Van Halen eventually settled on a patent number humbucker for his 64 Gibson ES-335.
I'm looking at it right now. It was not a flying V. That was just a red and black and white
mess.
But it was cool.
It made loud noises.
Yeah.
It was something.
All right.
The number two guitar of all time is Willie Nelson's Trigger. His Martin N-20 guitar.
Named after
the
horse.
With a nylon string acoustic.
Named after the horse, no doubt.
Named after the horse.
Oh, gosh, that thing looks like...
Trigger's been scratched and broken apart, glued back together.
Should that
braced,
be...
lacquered, repaired, modified, autographed by dozens of artists.
It looks like something you would find in a backwood cabin somewhere that had a dirt floor. I mean, it is really...
It's been through it. At a 1969 gig, Nelson's main guitar, a Baldwin, was damaged after being stepped on by a drunk. The repairman, Shot Jackson, deemed it unsalvageable and suggested he replace it with the new Martin D20 he had on hand. Nelson had Jackson transfer the Baldwin pickup to his new guitar, paid $750. Nelson didn't actually christen the guitar until after he'd played it for decades. When he did, he took inspiration from one of his childhood idols, Roy Rogers, and the horse Trigger. Ah, I figured this was fitting. So
I like it. But boy, that thing, then, it should be
I never
the
knew this one had a name, but the number one guitar of all time is the 1965 Fender Stratocaster Monterey from Jimi Hendrix. He performed it on stage at the Monterey Pop Festival, and this is for everybody. And he went into the cover of the Trog's Wild Thing.
And if you know, it's got the roses on it, and it's got and the
doused
hearts
with
on
lighter
it.
Fluid, setting it on fire.
Oh, jeez.
Smashing it, you know, up there. And someone went to Peter Townsend, who saw that, and said, "Now what are you going to do?" And he said, "Well, no matter what I do, it won't be anything, because it's always going to be Jimi Hendrix had the idea."
Wow.
Because no one remembers people tearing up stuff before Jimi set fire to it.
Wow. That's crazy.
Monterey.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's
famous
a great guitar.
People pay a lot of money for famous guitars and for historical guitars or just guitars in general.
Well, Jimmy, I'm saving mine. I'm hoping it's in the top 1 million guitars, and it's a Fender Stratocaster. It's red, and it's barely been played, so it should be worth something someday.
Well, I've got over here
what do you got?
Some kind of guitar with a whole bunch of autographs like Alan Jackson. And
oh,
Brooks
yeah. Well,
and
now, see, that's worth a little like bit more. That. Yeah, that's nice.
It could be. So who knows? It just sits over there and looks at me. 12-string Ovation guitar
that
I love.
That's a nice brand, yeah.
I love that one. Ovation's a great guitar.
They are
I've
great.
Got more over here. Les Paul over here on my back.
That's a nice one, too.
Right over here, and that's a nice one, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but those are all days gone by, but I still love to see them.
One of and, these days.
On the internet, I'm telling you, there is so much. I've gotten fallen down into the well on YouTube so many times lately. There is a movie I need to see on Netflix with Don Johnson. It's and I don't know where it is now, but
Rebel
it's somewhere.
Ridge. Rebel Ridge.
Yeah. Rebel Ridge. He plays a crooked sheriff in a small town. I think that's how it goes.
And it's good.
Anyway, I got on YouTube, and I don't know what made me hear. You know, sometimes they just offer you stuff. And it doesn't make any sense because they didn't know that I would like this person.
Mm-hmm.
But I got all into learning about Herb Albert.
Oh, yeah, trumpet player?
Remember there was Herb Albert in the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah.
And they came along during the British invasion and when the surf sound was and the Motown. Those three things were totally owning the charts for a whole decade.
Yeah.
But except for the Tijuana Brass, which was one of the biggest, they outsold the Beatles one of those years in the United States.
Did they really?
They really did.
I had no idea.
They really did in 65 or 66, one of those years. And they were huge. And remember, they had the theme for the Dating Game, the theme from this. And,
oh, yeah.
And T-Berry's Shuffle was a gum commercial. And he had a song that was a big number one called This Guy's in Love with You. But what an interesting man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was not Mexican. And he made a hit out of playing Mexican music because he went down to Tijuana and liked the bullfights.
That's crazy. That is
so
crazy.
So he started doing, he liked the trumpeter at the bullfights. He was classically trained in the trumpet. So he started doing that, then put a band together, and the rest, that's musical history.
Yeah.
And then he formed something called A&M Records with a promotion man to have their own stuff after they started hitting. And then boom, boom, boom. And he signed the Carpenters and Joe Cocker and Carole King and all these people sold out to the Universal or some, I don't remember, PolyGram, I think, for $400 or $500 million.
Holy
split
cow.
It 50-50 with his buddy.
Wow.
And with Terry Moss.
Boy, I had
and
no
then
idea.
He made his own money. And then now he lives in this beautiful estate in Malibu and he sculpts and paints.
He,
and
you know what he does?
He sells
Jimmy?
His sculpture for $200,000 or $300,000 a piece.
Oh my God. I was going to say, you know what he does now? Whatever he wants. And
but that's what he does.
And
he's
he
still
makes
a worker.
Money at
he's
that.
A hard worker.
Holy
you
cow.
Know, he makes a lot of money at that.
That's incredible.
And has a whole wing, at the Museum of Art there, modern in Los Angeles. So,
oh, Casino
he's
Royale.
He's such an interesting man and gave a lot of money to charity. He read an article in the Los Angeles Times that a Harlem school for the arts was going under because they were going broke.
Yeah.
Well, he called him up and gave him a whole bunch of millions to get the thing back going again.
I had no idea.
And went out there and saw it. I mean, he's the one that's credited with hanging in there with the Carpenters. Their first album didn't do squat for a year.
Yeah.
And then he got this Burt Bacharach song for them to cut, Close to You, and boom, everything
the
went
rest
crazy.
Was history. That's crazy. He's just
a, but it's on. There are a bunch of documentaries. One's a BBC Presents.
They're really good, by the way.
And they're really good. And there's a lot of pop people that they've done documentaries on, like Herb Albert.
I'd love to watch that.
But there's so many great things on YouTube. No wonder these networks are going broke. I would so much rather watch. I never agree. Cut on TV. This TV up here in my room has not been on in months. I don't even know if the thing works anymore.
Yeah.
Because I strictly watch, if I have YouTube TV, I watch it on this computer or that computer. And if I got something else going on, I'll watch YouTube on here. I've got good speakers, and this is a 4K monitor. That's an 8K monitor.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it on there. I watch the football games on there, and they look like they're going to jump out and grab me because they look so good.
So this is the first year. I used to get NFL package. I would get that every year. I would pay $200, $300, $400, whatever it was. This year, I do not have YouTube TV. Now, I do watch YouTube, but I don't have YouTube TV, the service, right? Which is, I think, $89 a month or something like that. If you want it with local channels and if you want the games on top of it, you pay your $299, your $399. If you don't want YouTube TV and you just want NFL package, it's $700. And some change. I'm not paying that.
Really? Is that what that when you get all the games?
Yes.
It's $700?
If you don't buy the YouTube TV, which is $89 a month, you just want it all a cart, it's $700. So I told my wife this year's first time, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. I'm not spending that money. I'll spend $200, $300, but not $700, and I am not getting YouTube TV. So you know what I did? I went to YouTube, which is what you're talking about right now, which is YouTube owned by YouTube TV, of course, Google and all that, right? And so I watched all the football games. You can watch every game in about 20 to 30 minutes on YouTube. They're all on there. And it cuts all the commercials out. It just gives you all the key plays. And you watch it and you go to bed. It's a four-hour game that you condense to 30 minutes. And it's fantastic. So I have a certain team I like to watch. And if it's not on TV, I'll go back and watch the condensed version on YouTube. But you're right. There's so much on there. Conventional television watching is history. It's history. People aren't watching that.
You know, really, and I still work in the industry.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
No, it's the only thing that still seems to do well is live sporting events, live whatever. But anything else, it just seems like it's just, I'll watch it later when I want to.
There's the stink that's going on this week, and I don't know how ABC is going to address it because they're going to. They have to do.
Yeah.
But the Beyonce story.
Oh, I saw some of that. Give me the rest of it.
I mean, she, Beyonce came out with a country album.
Mm-hmm.
No one asked her to. She just did.
Yeah, her choice.
And and thrust it on the radio. I don't think anybody was interested in doing it, but they were scared not to, and they ran this song called whatever it was, Texas Hold'em or something.
Yeah.
And it didn't fit the format, and some people played it, and it kind of went away after a while. Some people played it, became a dance hit.
Yeah.
Anyway, she got no CMA nominations at all.
Snub.
And they're claiming, they're using the word snub.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming it's racist. Her father says it's racist. Now, there's a black act named Shaboozy, and he got nominated for two different awards, and a black duo, War and Treaty, got nominated for award. So how can that not be racist? But just the fact that Beyonce didn't get a nomination, that was racist.
I guess
that makes no sense. I mean, the facts, let's not get the facts get in the way. It wasn't racist. It wasn't good. It was a clunker album.
Yeah.
She did no promotion for it. She put the album out.
Yeah, that's true.
Did zero promotion, did zero interviews with anybody in Nashville that would go out to the industry. None, zero, nothing. Not even did the big talk shows in New York. Nothing. She did nothing. And then they put out that song, and it did whatever it did. And then I don't think they ever put out another one. So what are you supposed to do just because it's Beyonce?
Well,
you're supposed to nominate her?
You know.
And maybe it could have gotten you've got to be in the top five of the vote. They put out this big nomination list.
Right.
And then the top five in each category gets the final nomination, just like it does at Oscars.
Yeah.
And so she didn't get anything, the top five, so they're saying it's horrible. And then they're bringing back where someone booed them at a CMA award when she performed with the Dixie Chicks back in whatever it was, 2016, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, I want to see the tape. I want to see the tape and I want to hear the boos because I don't think they existed. Was there somebody that might have booed? I bet they didn't boo at Beyonce.
Yeah.
I bet they booed at the Dixie Chicks.
Perhaps, yes.
Because the fact there could be 5 or 10 or 100 people that booed in a 17,000 seat arena when the Dixie Chicks came out. Oh yeah, that's real possible.
Right.
Real possible.
Right.
But if one, I don't believe anybody would boo Beyonce about anything.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a whole bunch of white people or green people or anything else.
Look,
it's just not a story. So
no,
people are generating a lot of stuff when there isn't a lot of stuff and painting that brush, making it look like, you know, everybody in country music is a racist. Just like if you don't vote for Harris, you're a racist and you're just an idiot, I guess, if you don't vote on the Democratic side. And that's why no one puts bumper stickers out for Trump or anything else. And you would think that no one's going to vote for him. But that's where you could have a November surprise.
No, I don't disagree. Going back to Beyonce for just a second, there is nobody in Beyonce's core group that is going to tell her, and I would, I have no skin in the game, so to speak, no one's going to tell her, hey, that's a crappy song. Nobody's going to tell
her.
Well,
I mean,
that's
it wasn't like that song was crappy, but it just didn't fit the country format.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the fact that someone in dance clubs could play it, then you say
that's not a country song, or that doesn't fit the format. No one's going to tell Beyonce that ever. So she can put it out, and she can say whatever it is. But the truth is, they got fiddles
in it, and they got ding 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 ding, and they make that a country song. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't think it was very good. I didn't hear anything on there that I thought was a hit record.
Well, evidently nobody else did either, or it would have
won. No one else did either,
so
it's just, what are you going to do?
Right. That's crazy. That is crazy.
You know, there's a lot of crazy going on in the world.
Indeed.
A lot of crazy going
indeed.
On the
world. All right, Jimmy.
Do you see where a TV, before we go,
yeah,
because this is your old home stomping area,
yeah,
do you see where another TV news crew was robbed at gunpoint in Oakland?
Really?
You know, they even have a security guard. Most TV people that go shoot stories out in the field in Oakland and in Greater Bay Area, I think most of the crews go out with security guards.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if they're armed or not. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't.
Maybe they should be,
These bad people came out and knocked over the security guard and knocked over the reporter.
What were they robbing?
They steal all their cameras and purses and wallets.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And then drove off in some crappy gold Toyota.
Great.
And I guess there's no police around anywhere where anybody can, you know, get caught and that kind of stuff. So.
Well, you know, I mean, years ago, we're talking years ago, 25 years ago, I was making deliveries in a store in Oakland and had gone in through the front door. There were no cops in that area. There were ladies of the afternoon, I guess you'd call them, when they're there around noon. And and they had their own security guards out in front, one on each side of the door. And I went in there and was actually held up with a shotgun in there. And they took all the money out of the till and took whatever they wanted. They took and left. And I happened to be standing there and just everybody just stay right where you are. And I had a brown paper sack with $800 in it because I had just collected for the delivery that I made. And they thought it was my lunch. They didn't touch my $800 and took off. And no one came. There were no sirens. There were no cops. They didn't even call the cops. It was an everyday occurrence. And that was 30 years ago.
And it's still apparently, you know, the guy getting, the football player getting shot at Union
Square.
Yeah,
the San Francisco 49er.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
I don't doubt that the police are doing the best they can.
Yeah, but it's,
you know, there. Yeah. But it's just, there are not enough of them. And, you know, again, there's no sure punishment. They're not putting enough of them in prison.
They can't.
And there's a whole thing going on here, a whole benefit in Nashville for having less people in prison. And they're saying we have too many people in prison. I say we don't have enough people in prison.
I would agree with you.
We have a lot of the wrong people in prison that are in wrong for, I think that some of these people should be at home, you know, on some kind of, you know, thing where they can't get out of their house.
Or
have to eat their own money and use their own power and whatever else. But I don't know. There probably does need to be some stuff. But, man, there are a lot of bad people out there.
Oh, God. They lost control of Oakland, probably 40 years ago. And they're never going to get that back.
I was always scared to go to Pixar. You know, it's right over there in the hood.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, they had razor barbed wire on top of
what a strange location
with all kinds of fortifications in there, but you know, they were trying to do the right thing by building in that area. But holy smokes.
Yeah, pretty great.
I never go. I said, man, I hope I don't have a flat tire or anything on the way out of here. I'm going to take a cyanide pill.
Jeez. Well, that's a good note to end on. I mean, just end it all. There we go.
All right.
Until next week on Sweeping the Country, I'm Derek Walker. He is.
I think I'm Jimmy Carter.
You are. You're still Jimmy.